Roth, 866-313-FREE. Well, let's talk about the word free, because for most people and more in most variations of radio, the word free means the ability to swear. We just heard a couple of commercials about that. I promise I won't say the word right? How many more years are we going to settle for that? I mean, how many more years are we going to pretend that that's what free speech is all about? Because that's the kind of retard nonsense that is keeping us having to keep Playboy magazines hidden under the cash register, and everything else has to be siphoned through the mind of a 12-year-old. That's how we're running our culture now. If it's not available to a 12-year-old emotionally and critically, then it can't be said or stated on the air. It can't be said or stated on the radio or on the television. Pretty soon it's going to be the internet, you'd watch. Pretty soon it'll be satellite, you watch. And the reason for that is not because of the 12-year-old. The reason, and I'm going to deal with this for the 12-year-old's perspective here, is because of the parents. It's because the parents have an incapacity to explain to the kid what they're hearing. They have an incapacity and an unwillingness to explain to the kid over and over and over again. Because when you teach a kid about sex, or you teach a kid about swearing, or you show him a picture of a gun, or you show him a picture even of National Geographic with girls with no top on or whatever, then you have some explaining to do. And if you don't explain, then you better start tomorrow, Jackson. And if you don't start tomorrow, then Junior's going to grow up bent. Well, the adults at this point in time have decided, no, we're not going to say anything to the little 12-year-old kid. We're not going to deal with this, and we're just going to clean out everything that can't be siphoned into a kid's mind. And the best offensive that we have against that is to get up on stage and blurt out the F word. I'm so tired of having to act like a 12-year-old and go, the F word. Why can't you even just say the word? Because we have to behave like 12-year-olds, and it's not the kid's fault. Now, you should have things that are on the radio. You can have things on television. You can have things in the movies. Hey, you do whatever you want to do in your life, okay? You do whatever you want to do with whoever you want to do it to, and do it three times after you have a beer for me, okay? But don't bring it down in the street and scare my horses. I promise not to do the same thing to you. And believe me, I live down in a part of town down the Lower East Side where there's nothing but scared horses. Great. That's why I moved to that part of town, okay? Come on. But in terms of censorship, what do we do with our censorship? We do wee-wee and doo-doo jokes, and then we yell the F word into a microphone, and we pretend that that it's the Grammys and it's 1970 or whatever, and we're routinely shocked and shocked and shocked. Oh, wait, there's two girls kissing. Oh, my goodness. How much longer are we going to have to behave like those 12-year-old kids because the parents don't want to take care of those kids? Come on, that's the problem there. Junior is very absorbent. Any kid up in the Utah farmlands, anybody who grew up on a dairy farm in Ohio, anybody who grew up on a horse farm in Kentucky knows real good and well what the circle of life is all about. By the time they're 7 years old, by the time they're 8 years old, they're already going with grandma to take the chicken out to the stump. You learn what the stump means. It means if you want chicken dinner, there's going to be a stump involved.
Yeah.
That's right. And that's because those kids wake up quick and sharp because they're being explained to. Mom and dad, and usually grandma, is living in the same place, is explaining, now, no, honey, that's how they do. And then you got to feed them, and then you got to raise them, and you see these kids at the 4-H club and so forth, and they're learning what we have to use cartoons to teach our children of in the inner city. The circle of life, as seen through the eyes of Walt Disney, no, not even Walt Disney, as seen through of art by committee. Here's what we've decided is palatable for all 12-year-olds. The only thing that is digestible for virtually everybody in the theater is baby food, and I'm real tired of paying money for it. I think that every time somebody sees the opportunity to go free, anytime somebody has the opportunity to exercise their First Amendment rights, Second Amendment, whatever rights, the whole Bill of Rights, we tend to swing down into that grade school level. Okay, I believe that if you do it with a little bit of pizzazz and a little bit of a positive energy, there's nothing about sex, drugs, and rock and roll that you can't discuss endlessly. Plus, if you do it correctly, you may actually get a delicate house blend of all three when the show is over, baby. Seriously, it's not the kid's problem, but I will tell you this. Now we're going to move up into the area where, okay, well, what if we've got, how do you explain lesbians? Okay, how do you explain lesbians to a school kid? Well, that's pretty easy. In fact, there's a lot of school kids who have a couple of lesbians for their mom and dad. Great, fine. It's about how do you explain it then? Ooh, says mom and dad, I better take another triple shot latte, man. I don't want to deal with that. So you can't talk about it on the radio. Some of my favorite shtick that is on everybody's morning radio is, two girls and a guy. Two girls in a toaster oven. One of my favorites. Seriously. But you got to tread around it. Not because the kid can't deal with it, but because mommy and daddy can't deal with it. And you know what? In a funny kind of way, you know, the extreme right is punishing if you don't continually push back as to using your rights, as to using your capacity for free speech for something more than saying the F word, for something more than saying the S word, because that's like the word weird. When you say the word weird, it's because you ran out of words. You dig? Oh, that's weird. Oh, that's so weird. Oh, that's so weird. Right? F that, dude. F you, dude. There's so many better ways to insult somebody, man. Come on, sticks and stones may break bones. Words can cause permanent damage. Sign me up, baby. You know. Roth, leading with my face. And I've been places with my face. You wouldn't go with a loaded pistol. 866-313-FREE. Talk to me about this. 3733. 866-313-3733. We're also on the internet, davidleeroth.com. Bang a track, homie, like it owes you money. Yo!
Just a little bit longer, baby. For my love.
Roth Radio. We're just getting the volumes here. We're getting everything squared up there. You're listening to B. Young from the band playing in the back there, basically.
We've got to introduce this guy. This guy is amazing.
Brian Young, all the way from California.
Good to be here.
You like New York City, man?
Oh, man. I'd move here in a second.
You would move here completely?
Oh, completely.
Because very few people from the West Coast would ever cop to that, man. No,
why?
No, no.
Why wouldn't they cop to that?
Seriously. Well, where are you from originally?
Ventura County,
oh,
LA.
That's like surf territory. Yeah. That's Mavericks, yeah. Man. Have you ever surfed Mavericks?
No. Mavericks is way up north. I'm way farther south.
I started taking surfing lessons just this last summer from Titus Kinemaka.
We got to go sometime, Dave.
Over in Hanalei. That's like the third best surf spot in the entire place. I got up the very first time. You know, that's what I call the ready position. You know, whether you're... You're ducking debris. Go ahead and turn him up. Give him a little more clarity out of his voice there.
We'll go surfing sometime, Dave.
How many years have you been surfing?
Just about five, 2000. I started when I was 36 years old.
Oh, wow. What encouraged you to get that start?
It was one of those. I was in Hawaii. I just took a free surf lesson, and I went for it. You know, I fell in love immediately. I'm sure you know what I'm talking about.
Oh, I think it's the lifestyle more than anything. Yeah. I saw, what is it called, Riding Giants and Step Into Liquid. And you know what makes the whole surf thing really pivotal? It's just not actually the art of surfing. That's spectacular to watch, but very few people can actually do it. Mm-hmm. What you can do is you can get the sunglasses. Oh, yeah. You can get the sunglasses. You get the little string in the back, right? Yeah. You can get the board shorts. I didn't realize that they're actually made for a reason like that. I just thought, you know, okay, it's, you know, to hide my skinny little chicken legs. But when you actually sit on the surfboard.
Oh, yeah.
You got.
You want to get that wax rash.
Yeah, it's like grip tape something, you know. Mm. So it's you got to wear the shorts for that. But then what you see is down on the Lower East Side, which is the land of you better wear big black boots, especially after the holiday. Everybody's walking around in slaps. Everybody's walking around in, you know, little, what do you call it, Huarache sandals? They don't call it that anymore. That's the Beach Boys song. Huarache sandals, too, yeah? The boogie bushy bond hairdo, right? That's the Beach Boys. And that has now impacted the entire culture all the way around the earth. Everywhere you go. I can go to Bradford, England. Which is mostly Pakistani at this point.
Oh, totally. Best curry in the world.
Oh, it totally is. It's a great place, and I played there many times. And virtually it's more than 50% easily. It's got to be 75% Pakistani and generally that part of the world.
Yeah.
And it's really cool. And every kid there under the age of 35 drives a Lord Toyota. They all got a little mustache, you know, like Diddy does.
That's right.
Oh, yeah. And you pick. You're either a surfer or you're a homeboy. And it's the best sounding thing because you have a British accent from a Pakistani trying to imitate Tupac. Hey, dude, what's up, dude? Oh, really? Hey, I can actually speak some Pakistani now, having lived here in New York for on and off for, you know, quite some time.
I'd love to hear that.
Oh, well, downtown in Lower East where I lived, all the bodegas are no longer owned by Puerto Ricanos, Boricua. Is it there? It's Pakistani.
Yeah.
And I did learn one sentence here. Let me try it. Let me try it here. Hey, mister, this is not library. All right, that's not my joke. I got it from somebody else. I forget his name. But I'm gonna hand out. I'm gonna hand it over to. I'll always give credit where it's due, okay? Do you want to take a call?
Sure, why not?
Listen, spin it up. Let me see. Chaz, kids and music lessons. Do you see where that one is?
Right here.
Chaz, talk to me.
Hey, Gabe, how are you?
I'm extraordinary this morning.
Great.
Ballistic.
I just heard what you were saying about, I got three kids, and I offered all three of mine piano lessons to start out with. My two older ones didn't go with it.
Oh, stop right there.
My youngest one did.
Stop right there. You don't offer, okay? There's a certain age where you don't offer. It's a disciplinary issue, because if it's not that, then it's got to be swimming lessons. And if it's not that, it's got to be Boy Scouts. And if it's not that, it's language lessons. Do your kids speak Spanish yet? La segunda lengua de este país? No. So you start making demands on Junior. And when Junior's bar mitzvah age or something like that, and you've equipped him with all of those lessons, whether that's moral, whether it's physical, athletic, ethical, doesn't matter, because that's not going to come from you, and it's not going to come from offering, because all he knows is what I feel like doing in the morning, sleeping in, eating cheeseburgers for breakfast, and watching cartoons. My version of cartoons, of course, has developed into, like I said earlier, two chicks in a toaster oven, but it's nevertheless, you know. So, with that thoroughly in mind, let me guess. You offered them piano lessons, the most horrifying possibility to any kid, because we all know how big that instrument looks, especially to a little person. We all know how many keys are on it. We all know that the keyboard player has to sit down or have it in front of him. It's nowhere near as sexy as having a whipping stick, you know, like B. Young over here, or being David Lee Roth and jumping around and flowing, you know, spinning the kung fu. I alone am master of the flying curtain rod, you know, like that. So keyboards, man, that's just not intriguing. Plus, when you start getting into Pro Tools and all of the digital interlinking and, you know, digital interface, etc., now you're into math. Now you have to correct pressure, density, altitude for temperature change, and don't plug that in there. Seriously. And so that's a confounding, terrifying vision, which is why you have to force people to do it. Ultimately, if you force somebody to eat lobster for the first time, they'll be an addict pretty soon. Hey, same thing with oysters. If you left it up to the kids, wouldn't the oyster market dissolve and go out of business forever? Because no kid would ever think of having an oyster. Animal, did you ever have oysters in Montgomery, Alabama?
Never had an oyster till I was like 30 years old, man.
And what did you think when you had when you ate your first oyster?
It was kind of like swallowing a booger or something. Like that.
No, actually, when you learn young, see, you already have references. You already had people around you in a place where they didn't even bother to teach you to swim.
I know.
They left you to your own device. So how would you know about anything that's going to come out of the water there? You follow? I really, really lean on this because music today is suffering a lot. And it's not because of the kids. It's not because there's a lack of talent. And it ain't because of the record companies. It's because of the parents. Same thing. It's because of the parents. The same reason we have all these gun issues here is because the parents aren't teaching the kids about guns. Same reason we have the AIDS issue here. It's because the parents aren't teaching you about condoms. And same reason everybody's getting fat and slow, because they aren't teaching you about McDonald's, which, frankly, I would like a bite or two of right about now. We're going to break for spots. I'm going to have me a Big Mac, and we'll come back with a lot more after this, baby.
David Lee Roth, mornings.
Roth, 866-313-FREE, 3733, and the calls are stacking up. First thing in the morning, baby, live. David Lee, first thing in the morning, 6 a.m. 6 a.m. is not an entirely unusual point in the day. Used to mean the party's over. Now it means boots on the ground. Huh? And anything except bad luck, which is playing in the background. Give me a call here. Put on my New York City paramedic there. His name's Andrea. Swing it up.
Oh,
Andrea, right. Are you there?
Let's see now.
Hey, you.
No, that's not Andrea.
That's me, buddy.
Who's me?
Todd Bradley from Bridgeville, Pennsylvania.
And are you listening in on the radio, or are you in on the...
I'm in there, buddy. I'm listening to you. I've been waiting on the hold.
But are you
they
on...
got the Gestapo on your producers there, boy. I'll tell you. Let me tell you something, Diamond Dave. If I may speak some truth. Hey, I think you're talking a lot of smack a little bit.
There, well, man. I talk a little bit of smack because otherwise people don't pay attention, especially the kids. And I think the adults, like the frame on a motorcycle... Usually when you straighten it out, it'll drive, but never quite straight again. I think the kids are savable. I think that in terms of talking smack, what better place to do it than Free FM? This is New York, baby. And we're talking to all of the best inner city, soon to be the rest of the inner city. And you talk about Philadelphia, Boston, Cleveland, there's an attitude there. And it's a confrontational, belligerent kind of enthusiasm, man. You hear it when you go to the sports events. You dig, man? And I also have convictions about things, both religious and prior. No, I take things seriously. Perhaps a lot of times what people expect is Diamond Dave. They expect, Billy, who was the comedian that worked with Howard?
He's me,
huh?
Billy Mira.
Yeah, he does a great example of David Lee Roth X amount of summers ago. You follow? But things develop. I'd like to think that I got off the bus a little different than the guy who got on 20 summers ago. And a little bit of travel, hey, to me, an artist means you're never going to close your eyes. And then I got some convictions on things, some things I really believe in. And most of it has to be with the youth. being an EMT, working in the different boroughs here, half my pickups, half my jobs are kids, little kids. And I'm always fascinated with what their worldview is. I've heard a whole lot of things, and maybe there's a little something we can contribute, but you're going to have to raise your voice, or otherwise, squeaky wheel don't get the grease. Give us the next call here. John, are you on there? John, what's his, you swinging? You have him? What do you got up there? John or Jack, what are you pointing at? You guys. No, put on some. Are you struggling for the phone call here? Put on Dan here. Dan, are you there? What's going on with the phone calls? Who's running that stuff? Eddie Van Halen? Who's there? Do we have anybody on the phone?
Yeah, it's Dan.
Didn't we just speak to Dan?
No, I just was on hold.
Oh, so Dan, you're here now.
I'm here now.
No, metaphysics before happy hour. I know, I promise, but I like it. Go ahead.
First of all, I got to say, one of my favorite songs that I haven't heard in a while is Slam Dunk by the DLR band that you put in the guys had a while ago. So I hope to hear that at some point.
Probably not, Dan. I'm looking for something here that's going to be a little more illuminating. I think that in terms of where we're at in the career now, I realize that a lot of people are still wearing laminates in the hallway outside and asking me who the opening act is. And we certainly continue to play. You know, it's in the contract that we're going to be traveling. I think it's every fourth week or whatever. But judging from the look on Tom Gisano's face... We're never even going to leave this room here. And, you know, we'll play all kinds of music, etc. But I think this is an opportunity to expand a little bit. And virtually everything else that you're hearing in the background here, for example, is my own record collection. Nothing here has been forced into place here. This is a complete aberration in the music industry, in radio even. I don't have a playlist. I have carte blanche for any kind of format, any kind of conversation. And that's why I want to talk to Kim about raising children. Make it happen, Captain. Swing. Kim, are you on?
Hi, I sure am.
Talk to me, babe.
Hi. Raising kids, I'm very big. I have a handicapped son. He had meningitis at 2 months and became handicapped. Tell you what the problem is with raising kids, there's nobody home with them.
Okay, and what is your theory? You're saying
my theory is all these damn women out there who want to go and they want to have their careers and they want to have this and they want to have their kids too.
Well,
you have to pick and choose.
I agree. And how many kids do you have? Tell me again.
I would have had more, but I only have one right now. He's 2.5. He's severely physically handicapped.
Okay, well, I'm sorry to hear about that. And so do you spend a lot of time home, sweetie, or are you a working gal?
I'm always home with him, 24/7.
Okay, and your reflection is you're looking out at a whole lot of people who are leaving latchkey kids behind, huh?
They drop them off at daycare where somebody else is not even raising them.
What was this couple who had something like 14 kids? Somebody's got to tell that woman it's a vagina, not a turnstile.
Exactly. You have to take care of the kids after they come out.
Well, this is one of the reasons I haven't had kids, okay? Call me retro, I'm still hetero. And I spend a whole lot of my mortgage over at, I'm not going to tell you where, but it goes, my money talks, it says goodbye at $20 a dance.
I've lived in Sin City, I've done everything.
But wait a second.
I've been there and done that.
But wait a second. What I am saying is that I haven't stopped to get kids. I've had some great relationships, but I know what I'm married to. I'm married to the audience. I'm married to a vision. I'm married to an idea. For me, success doesn't have anything to do with the amount of money in my bank account. I made $1 million, then I went broke. Then I made $1 million back, then I went broke. Then I made it back, and then I met Stacy from Dallas, Texas, baby.
Oh, my God.
Oh, no, that was all just last year, animal.
Yeah.
Success for me means, like, I got a vision. Like, I really think that I'm going somewhere. And that there's that hope that I'm really going to make that happen. That's what success is. It never even really matters to me about what the finality is. I always think that I'm going somewhere. Where are you now? And I didn't have kids because I knew that eventually, like a terrier, if you leave the gate open, oh, too hip, gots to go, baby. Now, how many ruined kids are there out there like that? They're toddling around because mom and dad just wants the kid. They don't want to have do you remember in Christmas? Okay, honey, you can keep him, but you're going to have to take care of him. How many of us really took care of the doggy? Yeah, that's why the SPCA is going, adopt a pet, adopt a pet, almost at the point of a gun. Every time you put on New York One, there's a Dalmatian going, take me, baby, take me, please. All right, it's not really a Dalmatian. Hit up Roxy for me. You got Roxy? Roxy, baby, are you there?
Yes.
Talk to me.
I'm right here.
I'm sorry? Are you still in bed, sweetie? Are you under the covers?
I'm just getting out of the shower, actually.
Okay, and you're and what? You stepped out of the shower, you've got a towel around you, and you decided to call us?
Towel.
Sorry?
I'm still dripping wet.
Darling, hold that thought. We're going to the spots.
David Lee Roth, weekday mornings.
We happy few up to my back wheels and headed out into the territory. Roth, 6 a.m. Not an entirely unfamiliar moment in the day. 6 a.m., but usually I would stay up. Well, actually, I did last night. But now it's boots on the ground, huh? First thing in the morning. 866-313-FREE, F-R-E-E, and that spells 3733. Give us a call. What's on your mind? If you made any New Year's resolutions or you've already broken your New Year's resolution, I want to talk to Andrea. She's here in New York City. Andrea, you're on.
Hi, Dave.
How are you, Andrea?
How you doing?
I'm extraordinary. What precinct do you work in, Andrea? Andrea's
actually
a paramedic.
I work at Lower Manhattan.
Okay, where in Lower Manhattan? Where specifically?
Down by South Street.
I know it quite well.
I've
worked across the water at Red Hook before.
Wow. I'm impressed. Mm-hmm. I'm really impressed that you do my calling, which was to become a medic, and I'm very proud to be a medic, and it's great to hear your voice. And when I heard that you were doing this work, I was very, very proud.
Well, thank you so much.
I wish you the best of luck in your new endeavor. And you're always looking into the future for new things to do, and you're constantly moving.
Well, I was never the same job for 30 years kind of guy. I think that was clearly evident from the first record on.
I'm just so thrilled to hear your voice and to know that, you know, you're constantly doing something creative, and even being a medic's a creative thing.
Well, wait, it's the reason that I came to New York this last time about almost 2 years ago was to go back to school. I had toured long enough for many months in a row to a degree where I had that space of time. I had the cash to do it. I had more than anything the energy to do it. You know, showbiz is a permanent lover. That's 24/7, and then even then she's not satisfied with it. But I set aside the time because these are things that I used to do. I was a surgical orderly out of junior college for a couple of years in Los Angeles, and since then I've always maintained all the seminars and all the classes: frontier medicine, outdoor medicine, maritime environment medicine, aviation medicine, high altitude medicine, you know. Well, that was the only kind I ever took, but no, it's, you know, that's all different kinds of stuff because I'm an outdoors kind of guy, you know, not certainly not on the level of a Ted Nugent or whatever, but simply because my mom didn't want kids and it was always, hey, go out and play. So nevertheless, everybody in my family was medical. Cousin Jack, Uncle Dave, my dad, and on and on. In fact, the only one who really wasn't medical is Uncle Manny, and he's showing up in about 15 or 20 minutes here. Manny Roth, my uncle's going to be here. He's the one who kind of went off into showbiz when he got out of the Air Force. So there's a little of a family tradition. Who runs into a burning fire and goes, wahoo, the guy whose dad was in the fire department? Which way, which guy says, I don't make deals with crooks? The guy whose dad was a cop, that's who becomes a cop. And I ended up my father's son, you know. Pop was a hard case. He was a prison doctor for the last 25 years of his life. He worked in Folsom Prison, San Quentin, Pelican Bay, which is Supermax, and all of these ways. Dinner table conversation during Thanksgiving was really colorful around my house, and we had a really unique sense of humor, starting from back when I worked with all the different surgical teams in the early 70s. I'll give them this is a paramedic joke. Mr. Rodriguez, how many of your fingers am I holding up? You got to have a sense of humor here, and where better to develop that than New York City? I won't kid anybody. Yeah, I'm badge wearing 327-466, and I've made probably 200 drops or visits, as we call it sometimes. But you know what I'm really good at? Because there's a lot of my partners out there listening, my instructors out there listening, et cetera, et cetera. My best capacity is lifting people. That's what I do. I can lift you out the ocean. I have. I can lift you off the sidewalk. That's nothing. Four times before the first pizza break. I can lift you out the gutter. I can lift you on the bed, off the bed. I can lift you out of the truck, onto the bed, push the bed into the emergency room, lift you off the bed and onto the other bed. and still meet you for pizza 15 minutes early. Heavy lifting. And you know what? That's what I like the best. I know it sounds kooky, but I like it when it's pouring rain and I'm sitting in the back there. We're waiting on calls. We're parked over by the Ferris wheel down around Coney Island, you know, and the rain is coming. It looks like a Humphrey Bogart movie in black and white, you know, and it's like a detective novel. Mickey Spillane, man, this is the city. There's a million stories here. Mine is just one of them. and you wait for people to knock on the window, you know, like this, because they don't have cell phones. They can't make the bills. A lot of the folks who live in the projects and stuff, or they don't speak the language. Hablo suficiente español para hablar con ti solamente en lengua. Pero you got a lot of Russians out there. You have Bulgarians. I'm not even sure where Bulgaria is. I'm still trying to locate Vietnam on the map. Seriously. And you get... you know, individuals who literally can't speak anything that is familiar to you. And I love that. I love the heavy lifting. And you know what else I'm good at lifting? The oxygen tank. I can drag that oxygen tank up 23 floors. I've been checked out on that. My partners up at the 47th Precinct made darn sure. And you know what the best part of all of it is? Like I says, you know, to be an artist, it means to never close your eyes, is that I got to see this city from the inside out. There's not a projects. There's not a shelter. There's not a subway. There's not a subway car I haven't been under. There's not a jail cell. There's not an interrogation room. There's not a garage, an emergency room, a triage station that I haven't been in 17 times. And that is the way to see the world in there. You're going to see all the different levels of it. That's been a miracle of illumination for me, and a privilege, because very few people in my position are allowed to do that. Usually you do what I call an Elvis, where you isolate progressively. Look at some of my buddies and some of the musicians that I've performed with in the past. You know, we'll call it Axl Rose syndrome. You know, people get famous and they lose contact with the world around them. At this point in time, if this radio career continues in 10 years, Gracie Mansion might have a climbing wall and a Hummer parked out in front. No, I'll never run for mayor. There's too many filthy pictures of me roaming around on the internet there. I actually have a sex tape out. Nobody's interested. It's in 1982. Wow. But, yeah, from Wichita Falls, Texas. And I released it, and I hope that everybody, you know, at least gets some kind of... I don't know, postmodern balance with Paris Hilton. Maybe someday I'm on the airplane. She says, aren't you the guy with the tape? I say, hey. Actually, I flew here from L.A. with Paris Hilton just recently. I say, not in the same part of the airplane, man. I was going to become a paramedic. I moved down to the Lower East Side in an apartment roughly the size of two Buicks parked together, and I don't mean end on end. I wanted to redo college all over again because I never did college, really. I did 2 years of music training, you know, theory and orchestration at Pasadena, but I didn't consider that, like, you know, when you go like Animal House or where you move to, you know, you're either in a fraternity or a dorm or, you know, whatever. I didn't have that, and consequently I've become a permanent student. You know, when I travel, that's a vision, man. And everything you've ever imagined, Brian's nodding his head, and so is our director of security, Animal. Everything you ever imagined to have happened or possible to happen on the road, man, that's just a base hit for us, baby, you know. But I've always wanted that contact with individuals who are really determined in other ways, you dig? And I just had a long discussion with my cousin Jack, who's the head of Roth Cancer Institute at Anderson University in Houston. I think it's one of the biggest in the world. And Jack's got one foot in the door for the Nobel Prize nomination. He's working with a thoracic surgeon, and he's a few years older than me, not too much. And we had a conversation. He says, so, Dave, why did you start doing an EMT and everything? I says, you know, the family word, man. Family word is contribution. It'll make a contribution to the community. I took enough out, Hey, kid, buy another ticket. All right. Put a little back in a bank. He says, yeah, good word. I says, but I think maybe you've contributed a little more than me. I just do heavy lifting, babe. I sit out in the rain, make sure nobody falls off the gurney. And he says, nah, you know, my daughters, they're college age. They would say to me that musically you made more of a contribution. I say, I disagree with you, Jack. I think you made more of a contribution, but my uniform looks cooler, babe. Do it now. Roth, 6 a.m., 866-313-FREE. I don't know if I'm going to be working a whole lot of shifts now that they put my poster up on Times Square. Yeah. I was sneaking around the edges. Okay, it's the one of the very few things I did in my adult life, not for publicity. Seriously, I says, this is something that I've always wanted. It's an art form, man. It's a, and the people that you work with are they're the best. It's everything from arts and crafts to paramilitary and all the brilliance that comes in between. What do you think runs this city? Who do you think owns this city? When you buy something big, you only own it for the first 20 minutes. Anybody who's owned a horse or a yacht can tell you that. Then it belongs to the captain, the radio operator, the guy who paints the boat, the debarnacling guy, the guy who puts it in the slip, the guy who has to now paint it because the barnacling guy freaked out your paint job. And the Loran is broken, the GPS needs to be tuned, the radio got stolen, and the wheel doesn't work anymore. Okay, who owns the boat?
Not you.
Well, who do you think owns these big cities? New York is a working template for everywhere else. Philadelphia, Cleveland, Pittsburgh, everywhere that we're talking about. It is like that. I decided I was going to sneak around the edges there. We were going to tour. Brian, you remember, we were touring like Willie Nelson. I'm lucky enough to be like Willie, where I can literally point at the map and go, here. And in 2 months, we're there. Well, it takes a few summers, you know, of touring and making records before you can become that guy. But, you know, Elton John can do that. We want to play there. Great. Call Billy Joel, and they're there 2 months later. Who else can do that? Jimmy Buffett can do that. And it's a great way to live. We call it weekend warrioring, you know. And everybody lives all over the country. All the fellas come from everywhere. You know, Sencio here's from Boston. I don't mean to get you killed again here. Tom Gisano just gave keys. Is it because you're from Boston?
Boom.
Maybe Tom Gisano hates you because you're from Boston.
Boston Irish, no good.
Oh my God. And what's his name? Who's Chardoff? What? No.
Chernoff.
No, Mark Chernoff. Let's give a shout out to Howard Stern. I know he's not on the radio just yet. He's not on the air just. What did he come on, the 7th or the 9th or
the
something?
9th of January.
Yeah. Talk to me, Howard, across the airways. Let's have a communication. Well, every couple of days, give me a shout out. I'll ask a question. Maybe you can share an answer. And if you have a question, perhaps I can illuminate. What do I do about Tom Gisano? Go ahead and hit the track, baby, one time.
Yo. Okay, small track gap here, Dave, because it's on the same CD. Here we go.
And here comes Tom. No, you're going to have to continue this discussion in Boston. Turn it up, Ed.
Do it now. Game starts with a blast of feedback. Still spinning from the night that we had. In the mirror where I brush my teeth back. There's three more heads and they're watching me back. Read the bread while I toast my paycheck. Well, the girl said Gray's a safe bet. Phone ringing, I refuse to take it. Wanna blaze dead, but I'm on the day shift. Stepping out into the weekly rota. On a cheap share a seat with Oda. Train driver said it ain't a joke, but we're gonna be stuck till I fix the motor. Half hour in between the stations. Start jogging when I hit the pavement. Ran straight into a situation. Cop said stop cause of inculcation. Whole hour on an explanation. Missed the bus and the cab was engine. I'm really now in a situation. When I return to my destination, I get told to collect my payment. Clear the desk quick, make it vacant. Now if I ever need the inspiration, right about now where I lose my patience. If I ever need the inspiration, right about here's where I lose my patience.
David Lee Roth in the mornings.